things first.
Good evening, everyone. It is Wednesday night. It's just after 7 o'clock here on the West Coast in California. And I'd like to welcome you tonight to the class.
Yes, welcome. And welcome to you.
Yeah.
And welcome to you.
And welcome.
Welcome to you.
Ivan, we're not sure whether Ivan will be here or not. Probably not. But the point is that I want to welcome you to this class because the class in itself, it's a remarkable thing what we're doing. What we, and what's remarkable about it is that 5, 6, 10, 15, 20 people, I don't know how many, are spending time studying the phenomena of the Voyager. I mean, here we are. That's the focus of what this is. That in itself is, that's a miracle in itself, that we're even taking the time out to do it, and we're doing it together. There are scholars out there that have studied a great deal about this material, and they become scholarly about it. But to do it together brings an element that's unusual.
That is a pertinent point, and I will speak to it. In fact, I will sing to it. Here you go. Now, if I am the only one making those tones, it produces a certain form of reverberation. But if a number of us, as I just spent the last 5 days, make these tones together with a certain intention, as we have here, the tones themselves reach toward, we could call it whatever we want, the perfection of the tone, the archetypal sound of the tone, the resonance of the spheres, however you want to label it, it doesn't make any difference. The group sound made together will more approximate what you're aiming toward than you can do on your own, and the memory of the shared sounding stays with you when you practice on your own. How about that?
So there's two elements to our study. One is the study of the material itself, and we can do that together, we can study together, we can study individually and share that together,
mm-hmm.
but there's the element of collaboration that I guess has become very important for me in the last week. The idea of collaborative effort of some sort and the need to create collaborative events to mature certain things.
Yes.
So there you have it. Are you on? Okay, I can't see that.
Good.
So that one's still struggling. Do you have it now?
Yes.
So that's, is Susan on the phone?
Yes, I am here.
Hi, Susan.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, the method that we're using to study the material, it has got several layers to it. One method that we're using is where we read the material.
Yes.
Okay? We read the material. That's one thing. Then the other thing that we do is that we read the material to another.
Yes.
All right. And Harry, I'm going to have a question about that for you in a few minutes, if you would please. Thank you.
We are being delivered our supplements. I hope you all have yours with you as well.
And what? And there's two parts. One is you read to another. So you study the material, you read to another, and then you are read to.
Yes. And that's not just a mirror of doing the reading yourself.
Okay.
And the reading to and the receiving a reading of in themselves unify something, but it is the combination of both that you're talking about, right? The collaboration of the two.
Terry?
Yes.
Have you had this experience of being read to?
Yes.
Okay. I recall that when this was occurring, you said at one point, you said you wanted, and I verified this with Susan, but at one point you said something like, I wanted her to slow down. You wanted the reader to slow down. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is Simon on?
Okay. Yes, he is.
These are also experimenters, along with other folks too, Pathworld, I believe. Now, may I ask you some questions about that, Harry?
Of course.
Thank you. When you were being read to, and it's going to seem strange, my set of questions, but I'm going to persist because I have a concept. I want to see if I'm is even close. You for some reason you said, gosh, I want it to slow down, right?
That's correct.
Why did you say that? Now that you're being read to, right? You're being read to. So you may have already read to the other, to Susan or to others, but now in this case you're being read to.
Correct.
All right.
Well, it was unexpected because as they read to me and I switched into a different internal state, things seemed to slow down in the, I guess, the vibratory context in which I was moving and living, wanted things to assimilate more completely. I don't know how else to say this. I'm making this up as I go along here.
Well, that's where I'm going to be digging. So,
I wanted it to slow down because it had such richness to it.
Okay.
I felt like she was leaving me behind somehow, and so part of me wanted her to slow down so I could really relish this state that it was generating. And
Susan, do you remember that?
Things just seemed to slow down, and I liked it.
You wanted it to slow down, and there was something about the slowing down that was important to you. Is that about right?
That's correct.
Okay. What I'm interested in is, what is it, can we discern, and this, of course, is a question for all of us, can we discern why did I want it to slow down? What was important about that?
So
which,
I could absorb
what event, what were you being read, by the way?
It was, I believe, on the fifth chamber.
Okay.
I believe it was the fifth one.
Okay. So but the fifth chamber, you're being, was this... Reading, that'd be reading number five, then?
I believe so.
Like the moon on the water, that particular one?
It was the harsh, biting, acid-like cleansing atmosphere,
no,
for
that's,
example.
That's the
fifth chamber.
That's the actual fifth
Not
chamber.
Not fifth reading, fifth chamber.
Not the fifth reading, the actual fifth chamber.
That's what I'm talking about.
Does that ring a little bit with you, Susan? What we're talking about now?
Yes, I don't remember exactly where.
That's okay.
In the reading we're talking about, but yes, I do.
That part may be important at some point. In fact, it will be important at some point, but right not at this moment of investigation. So, right now, so then there's Harry, and you're starting to read to him, and Harry, you start to go into a the space, right? A state, the space.
Yes.
And then you're able to speak from that place and say, hey, slow down.
No, we did critiquing at the end.
I didn't want to interrupt her.
Like, he read for me first, and I critiqued him. And then I read for him, and he critiqued me afterwards.
Okay. What I'm trying to get to is there was something in your being upon reflection, now that I think of it, that said, I wanted that to be slower.
So I can increase the sensations of that were being referenced.
That's what I'm
wanted to soak. I wanted to soak like this white luminous and brilliant radiation. I was actually beginning to sense it, and it was not quite what I had expected. And I wanted to stay there until I had somehow joined with it. But I didn't want to move ahead too quickly. I don't know how else to say that.
That's perfect. The way you're saying it. Very clear.
Pretty good way of saying it. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, and I was specific to work with Harry on this, partly because of conversations I had with Susan, but other things too.
Mm-hmm.
But because he's also willing to dig.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, mostly when we've approached the American Book of the Dead, and many of us have over the years, we've used it as a tool to, quote-unquote, read for others,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
We go and we read for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We're the guide, and we take this material and we read it. Now I'm experiencing the clear light, and so on and so forth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we read that. And there's a lot of literature about how to deliver a reading,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Absolutely.
People, I think, I don't know if Star Ananda's on, but for a while there she was teaching a whole class on it for the third, fourth, or fifth time.
Yes.
Pat's taught a class many, many, many times. I've taken the class from V. Goldstein, I think.
Very good.
Few years ago.
Yes.
So
it's not lacking in information about how to read. Yes.
Now, what we're saying here is, and this is something that Silverdale and I have talked about, this book is about something else.
Absolutely.
And this book is also about the Voyager, the life of the Voyager, when the essential self starts to come alive, and it has a little bit of standing. It starts to have standing, and I mean it in exactly the way that a lawyer, I don't know if we have any lawyers on, would mean the word standing.
Mm.
But it starts to have a little bit of weight. Now what do you do? Well, part of it, this book says what to do.
Mm-hmm.
The readings happen to give us a sense of a space that is new and different for us. And if we are being read to, we are Voyagers. And when we're in the Voyager space, we have a chance right then and there to maybe reflect a little bit. Right?
If one, we can set aside immediate reactions and responses, and two, we can pay attention to what is occurring. So there's two parts to it. One of them is exactly what Harry was describing, which is you have feeling that you want to be more involved with the sensations as they are occurring, so you want to savor and explore the richness of whatever the experience is. That's one. And you have to not be diverted by that. You have to note it.
Very
good. You can't be diverted by it. Two, you have to stay awake in your Voyager presence and attention to what is occurring in the Voyager space. This is the fine line, the subtle area that we are attempting with words and formulations to explore, because it is not a mental process. And even though we're reading words and we're using our minds to read those words, it is not a mental process. So accessing the Voyager's space as a Voyager is what the descriptions are in the text. That's why they're written the way they are.
So I maintain that we are beginning to become trained
mm-hmm.
at being a Voyager.
Mm-hmm. That's the correct formulation.
All right.
It's not inherent to the nature of a Voyager to be able to access the abilities and the Voyager spaces. It's not inherent. Just because you're a being doesn't mean you know how to be. Oh, I got a little.
Does that make sense, George?
Absolutely. The way I often think of this is that our essential self, our being, is at a particular frequency within which we have access to the totality of the creation. But in order for us to function in space and time, that frequency begins to fragment and becomes provides the energy for our thinking and our feeling and our
yeah.
manifestation. And we're simply trying to remember that common integral vibration before the fragmentation begins.
To get back to it. First of all, all of that was an introduction to where I wanted to start with tonight. Okay?
Good. Very nice.
And I'm wondering if there are comments that should be read at the moment, or how are we doing there?
I don't see any yet.
Just go ahead. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. So one of the things, so we're going to be approaching chamber 7 and 8 tonight. Okay. Now, what's the context here? Okay. What is the context? Well, for the context, let's turn back a couple of pages here, and we're going to go to, I'm in the old book. You have the new one, right?
I do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's that page number?
That would be page number 79.
And 90 or 89 in the old one.
87 on for the 30th year anniversary.
Excellent. And that's called the second stage of the voyage, right?
No. Starting at the beginning of the second stage of the voyage.
I'm just asking to flip back in
your...
Yeah.
So it's page 79 in the 30th edition, right where the beginning of the second stage is.
And it says second stage of the voyage.
Okay. Yeah.
And then it says in big letters, what does it say?
Manifestation of the friend guides.
Okay, now we'll go back to the seventh chamber.
There you go.
And now we're going to say, so where we are, okay, all of this labyrinth voyaging has to do with orientation and having a sense of orientation so that you are oriented to what's going to happen. So right now, the chamber we're in, called seventh chamber, it's in the context of manifestation of the friendly guides. Right?
Absolutely.
So that says these guys want to help us.
Yes.
We're in the helping stage.
Yes, and they're showing. It's a manifestation.
So what is the hand that is being offered in the seventh chamber? What is it? What opportunity does the Voyager have presented to themselves in the seventh chamber? Is Simon on right now? Yeah.
He's on the chat, David.
Okay, good. Thank you.
So
what it says is the seventh chamber then goes into the uphill and says, Oh, okay. And it says, don't forget each one of these, it's assumed that you have attained liberation. And then it's like, oh, in case you didn't, here's the next one.
Yes.
Having thus confronted the visions of the labyrinth, however weak my attention may have been until now, I ought to have gained liberation.
Yes.
Oh, shucks. I guess I didn't.
Unless.
And for some reason you didn't. If that has been the case, then the visage of the element fire comes forth. The element fire. I'm going to ask you a question about that from the Bible a little bit. It says, and along with this soft yellow light of the dimension inhabited by the hungry ghosts. So here come the hungry ghosts. They get to vote here too. Mm. And so then it goes on and on and on. And so the master, the guide of this chamber says, oh, there's the hungry ghost, you guys. I got the solution.
Yes.
And what is it? What is the solution?
It says, keep my attention sharp and clean.
So sharp and clean. I may be, and it says, I will feel possessive and attached as I was conditioned to feel in the human primate. I may be afraid to allow the dazzling red light to dissolve my habits of attachment and possessiveness. So the opportunity that the friendly guide is saying to you, I see what you're doing. You want to dissolve the hungers and desires, right?
Absolutely.
You came to the right place.
That's what you asked for, and here we are.
And I'm going to deliver. And
the guide will always deliver exactly and specifically what is required.
Okay, so if that's the case, that's the fundamental key to how we're going to apply this in our lives as well on a day-to-day basis, which I'll get to in just a moment. So here you are. And maybe you're playing
Yahtzee?
Maybe you're playing something like Pop Warner football.
Okay.
And you're out there and you ask for help and the New York Giants football team shows up.
Oh.
And they say, we're here to help.
Whoa.
Now you may not be able to absorb that much help right then and there.
Maybe you can.
We don't know, but the instruction from the helper is to pay attention. Okay? To pay attention. And this is a battle between our habits and our propensities towards hunger and desire. Hunger and desire, throughout literature, you're going to find that hunger and desire are never fulfillable. You can't. And we told the story of Tantalus, and the hungry ghosts are depicted as creatures with great giant bellies and very small throats and mouths able to absorb bellies that can never be filled. And the very nature of hunger is that it cannot be fulfilled. As long as it is a hunger, it can't be that.
Continually hungry and at the same time full. You're never satisfied.
So that's a particular type of element that we're working with called hungers and desires, manifested by the hungry ghost. And the solution given by, Amitabha is, here's the red radiation. That's what you need to clarify and cleanse that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know you're coming in here with all your karma. I know you're coming in with your habits. That's okay with me. Because I know you're a Buddha nature. As George says, I know you're originally of the absolute.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. So I'm going to help you. And here's the dazzling, cleansing radiation, the red fire, the fire, and what is it that Christ says, Harry, I baptize you not with water but with fire, right?
I believe.
And what does he mean by that? In this case, the red, the fire, is the discernment, the absolute discernment of what those, the pathetic nature of hunger and desire. But when we're locked into that, we don't think of it as pathetic. It is important to us to have, to fulfill our hungers and desires. We believe that's the case, and thus is the life conflict. So I had this thought. So tell me what the color is again that comes out in this, the helper gives us.
Red.
The brilliant red.
Red. So I thought, well, how would I apply this on a day-to-day basis? I mean, I don't have these, like, brilliant red events happening as I go through the day. I mean, I barely make it through the day. But what if we wanted to practice in very small, limited ways this concept? Let's say, like right now in this room before us, there's not a lot of red.
There's
our
this.
Book is red. But mm-hmm. if you look around, there's not a lot of red,
no.
right?
No.
So what if you're going through your day, maybe you go out to a restaurant, or you work in a office building, you go to a doctor's office, and you walk in, and everything's red.
Ooh. Uh-huh.
Like, there's two or three people there wearing red outfits. The pictures on the wall are red. But just say it has the overwhelming notion of red.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're driving down the highway, and you turn onto a particular road or something, and suddenly every bloody car is red.
Mm-hmm.
What if, and this is, I'm way out there in the what if part, okay?
Go right on ahead.
What if that becomes for us a reminding factor? And the reminding factor says, okay, at this moment, what are the hungers and desires that are at work in me? Because
mm-hmm.
the universe is coming and saying to me, red, dazzling red.
Radiation.
Radiation. It is giving me those radiations. It's training me. It's saying, here is that radiation. Now, most of the people that are here, I don't know who all's on tonight, but most of the people here aren't involved like with major addictions, gambling, you know, booze, you know, heroin. I don't know.
Right.
You know, they're kind of like simple people leading simple lives.
Right.
And then we start to believe, well, you know, I don't really have a lot of these hungers and desires.
Oh, okay.
But see how it works for you. So take this chamber and the offer of help in this chamber from the manifestation of the friendly guides and just say, when that color shows up,
mm-hmm.
can I not then reflect what around me, what pride is it that I'm hungry for? What recognition do I want today? You know, I wanted that one cookie. I was hoping for that cookie.
Oh, yes.
Maybe it's just a little cookie. So maybe it just can be a way of formulating a concept or reminding factor.
In that light, let us look at something that we always have, but it's not necessarily visible. And that is this idea that our blood runs red, or that it at least appears red when it is opened to the air. So when it is visible, it is bright red. That's a sign of health in humans. It's also the recognition that the red, as in the fire or the flame or the force, or in certain structures, it's the heart. So there is the ongoing chamber within that holds that dissolving red radiation. It's always with you. You don't even have to look outside of yourself because you carry it around with you. It's another way of seeing this as a reminding factor. You put any, 5 seconds
right.
on yourself as the human biological form. What is it you're walking around in?
But I'm saying, what is it you've drawn to yourself?
Exactly.
To?
Yes,
what
I
have you
I
drawn
you.
To yourself at that moment? If you've drawn this dazzling red radiation, maybe that's a moment for reflection too. It's a moment for self-reflection on how. Because they are working, how are the hungers and desires working in me right now?
So is it sort of a little bit like a red flag?
It's a red flag in this case. It's a red flag.
Alert.
It's an alert to look for that specific manifestation of the hungry ghosts.
Hungry ghosts.
Am I in the world of hungry ghosts? And... anyway, it's just a thought. So there's two aspects of this. One is the element that Harry brought in is to be read to and the being wanting to harvest the depths of that experience that is indicated in the chamber.
Mm.
Okay? You want to harvest more and more of that. Yeah, I talked to Susan. She says, I want to read all of them. And a hawk lady said to me the other day, she says, I wanted to read to Susan, I wanted to read to Harry, and then, because she was mining the depths of this. I don't
mm-hmm.
know what she was reading, but
mm-hmm.
she felt the need to mine the depths of it. And Susan says, I need to read the first 5 symptoms. I need to include that. Well, why would someone say that? Because they know that their being needs that right then.
Yes.
They need a nourishment from that particular area. And as long as we can start to see ourselves in that way, and we can start to allow that voice to speak, then I think that's a good thing.
Especially if you can draw it out in a cooperative or a collaborative interchange with others.
Really love is I wish that from time to time we were together.
Yes.
And, we had these eyes on and as we walked the earth and to see what it is we see and notice what we notice from these sets of eyes. That's very fun to do. I've done it, and it's curious. So I'm going to push on because on page 99 there, continuing, it says, this is the dissolving radiation, and even if I succeed in avoiding it now, it will always be with me wherever I go, and will always be facing me when I return this way again. Therefore, I won't allow myself to be drawn down into the soft yellow light, the path leading to the dimension of the hungry ghost. So that's our challenge. It's truly difficult to give up and to start to break the attachments.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay to do it. Okay, it does begin the floor of liberation that we're looking for. And now I want to go into step 8 because I want to compare and contrast
yes.
here real quick.
Yes.
And we may not get that far. So then chamber eight, and now it goes on and says, oh, and with same kind of lead in, says, well, you should have been liberated, but just in case you weren't.
Yes.
And the Tibetans are even more, it says, and the Tibetans, they say, it's impossible that you weren't liberated before.
But
maybe you weren't. And if you weren't, then they go on and they say, now the guide of the element air comes forth.
Yes.
With the dissolving radiations of his grace will appear along with the light coming from the angelic dimension, proceeding from the passion of jealousy. The green light of the primal form of concept will shine toward me. At the same time, I am aware of the green aura of the unborn balancer of almighty power, seated on a floating throne, has descended upon the form of the beloved, who is filled with the presence of the Great Mother, surrounded by a rainbow of light. Now, the primal component of consciousness called concept will shine as the green light of wisdom, dazzlingly green, transparent, clear, radiant, beautiful, terrifying, surrounded by globes of green radiation coming out of the heart of the beloved. It will be a shock of brilliant radiation. I will remain calm and clear, remembering myself as a voyager, not a body, mind, bathed in a state of high indifference, high intention. Along with the green radiation, I feel a soft red light coming from the dimension of purgatory. And it is produced in the tendency to feel jealousy toward others, the habitual desire to engage in intrigue, repulsion, disgust, and deliberately aroused will only make it worse. So once again, this is the manifestation of the friendly guides are telling us, here is the hand that I can offer you. Here is the help I can give. So now we've changed from the hungers and desires, and we've moved into jealousy.
Mm-hmm. And intrigue.
You say jealousy and envy, and there's some discernment between the two. Jealousy has to do usually with relationships,
mm-hmm.
and that dynamic, and envy has to do usually with things, that you envy somebody having things or qualities or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very poisonous place to be.
And the aspect of intrigue means that you're involvement of yourself is in the most unbalanced manner that it can be, and the green light is also named as the balancer. So the unbalance of intrigue is countered from the unborn balancer of almighty power, which is the positive formulation.
Yeah. I was wondering if anybody read chambers 7 and 8 to each other. Has anybody had a chance to do that yet?
Not yet.
No.
Okay.
Anybody in the chat there?
Take a shot at it.
A few comments.
Go ahead.
Good.
We've been...
Well,
wait. Go ahead.
This one was around the time of the Hungry Ghost, and it's from 108 repetitions. And they say, vibrations perceive sound movement, ghost illusion, but not the center of 24 cubes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Simon responds by saying the oxygen effect.
All right.
a repetition goes on to say, because it does not mix with unstable lines.
All right.
Simon goes to say, it is used as a trigger for observation at the moment. And the response...
Right.
The response from 108 repetitions, mineral and cell, state of the brain matter. Oxygen and hydrogen bind in combinations infinite.
Okay.
And then one more comment from Simon, asking, in Chapter 7, is introduced the name of the Great Mother. Could they offer a bit of perspective in the Great Mother?
Yeah, when we finish Chamber 49, there'll be a lot of reflection on the Great Mother. It's a clarification that occurs over... the extension of the voyage, so a little premature to do commentary. It's significant that it enters in at this particular point, but it's not relevant to discuss the significance until we've completed the journey. So that's my comment. Just there was a comment.
Okay.
There's one more comment.
Oh, good.
From 108 repetitions. Everything becomes into its opposite, up, back, to top, mechanical.
Okay.
That's all we have.
So, I'll be very interested to see what might happen if people read to each other mm-hmm. in these particular 7, 8, 9, and 10 in these chambers of the manifestations of the friendly guides. See if you can have a sense of the helping hand that is being offered. We're being offered help at this point. The Voyager in a very dynamic situation, but is being offered help by the guide. And I say, let's deepen that help by saying something like, this is what I mean by taking the show on the road, okay?
Yeah.
In other words,
yeah.
As a Voyager.
Yeah. Walk it around.
Walk it around and see what you see. And use these for the moment as experimental points of data. Green, dazzling green, also dazzling red. Does that say something to you? I don't know. Look around and see what you do see. Okay? That's the task before us, is something along those lines. It's almost as important to be read to as to read to someone.
Totally.
And this is a new experience for you, right?
No. Actually, I was most fortunate when the early versions of the Labyrinth Reader's Course, as we now describe it, were being formulated. I was in Crestline, and we actually had the opportunity to participate in the exercise of maintaining the corpse position for the length of a reading. And I wasn't able to do that at the time because I had just birthed two premature children, so I was a little preoccupied. But a few years later, when we moved up here to Grass Valley, we had a very usable facility up on Alta Street, and we maintained a working chamber that we could keep with no light and no sound, and people could use that chamber and be read to in the chamber. So yes, I had that opportunity early on. And then the other times we've shared in group the practice of not just with this text, but with some of our other texts, of having the book pass around the circle. So not each person has the book, but the book gets passed around the circle. So it's as if there is one reader for all in the circle. And that is another way of being read to and being a reader in, when you have a small circle there and you pass the text. It's another way of doing this kind of work with each other. In a sense of building up the reading chamber for all to participate in.
So I want us to experiment with this and see if we can deepen that sensitivity that Harry and Susan were working with.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it begins to bring something forth in terms of our study here.
Yes. It will.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yes. I was wondering if people had comments about the reading of the texts themselves to this point. So we've just completed 8 in comparison with the reading of the front matter. Remember that we spent, 6 or 7 weeks on the front matter, and we spent about the same amount now on the text. And just in terms of the practice of sitting with one of these books for the purpose of developing as a voyager. That's a question that I have for people. It doesn't have to be answered now, it can be answered later, but I'm posing the question. Have a reason for posing it. So.
Okay.
I have a good reason for posing it.
Okay. We'll accept that.
I just want to know if I have to read all of the material, or can I just read the chambers? That's what I want to know.
Okay.
You know, for an oral book. More?
Well, I just wanted to repoint out the kind of toward the end of the 8th chamber there.
Good.
Wandering in the 6th dimension, because of the power of jealousy on the radiant path of light, of the all-performing wisdom, may I be led by the guide of the labyrinth. May the beloved be my protector. May I be led safely across the shocking ambush of the labyrinth. And may I be placed in the state of the pure and shining void. So, the voyager is beseeching the space, in a sense, saying, may my attention and awareness be pristine to receive these gifts. These are powerful gifts that are coming to us. Can we step up to the plate to receive the quality of the gifts? It's very difficult to do. How do we measure these things? It's very difficult.
Right.
But you can turn to yourself and you ask yourself, am I on the right path? Does this make sense for me? Does it feel like I'm going in the right direction? Am I mining something that I need to mine in myself? If you are, that's the proof in itself. There isn't another proof you need. Unfortunately, from this point of view, it is on the voyager, it is on you. There may be external signs, but the most important thing is is how is your heart at play with this material?
Well, there is a phrase in this eighth chamber. I especially love the eighth chamber. For some reason, the idea of an element of consciousness that is called concept has always struck me as one of the higher forms that I actually can identify to some extent with.
Okay.
So, and the idea of a brilliant green radiation that is terrifying, I have searched in my memory for a view of something that is green that is terrifying. And it is a hard one to come up with. I've come up with a few, but I'm not sharing them. Everybody should find their own. But the sentence at the very top of the page says, I recognize. So there's the first commentary, which is, it's on your response that this result can occur. I recognize the brilliant green light as my ally. So this is obviously the same as what you were saying. This is on me, on my ability to not just accept that it's there and not be, you know, dumbed out and sleep here or too preoccupied, but actually have to recognize the light as my ally.
Be attentive.
But what if at the last chamber we were looking at being dissolved in the red light?
Right.
Yes.
And now what if we're a little slow and we're still trying to go to the red light?
The point is that by the time we're done with this, we're going to have a portfolio of tools to look at. All right? Right now we're developing the red one, and we're developing the green one. So at some point the Voyager is going to say, you walk into the room and you go, oh my gosh, everything's this strange, brilliant, green blasting right now. Let me look around and see what help am I being given about my jealousy, my envies.
And just to be very direct about the question that you asked, in the seventh chamber, it says, I can let go of habits and tendencies to have things and to accumulate and to hold on. And I think you said, what if we're a little slow at allowing the red radiation to do its work? And that's one of the things that the red radiation does, is it dissolves that tendency to hold on or hold off or try not to have it occur, right? We've got this, please, no, wait, stop, you know. That's part of what the red radiation does. So in
or
a certain
you're still looking to the red radiation in the next chamber. Or you're still looking to the red radiation in chamber 8 when really you should have been looking towards the green at that point.
This is I think, a way of understanding the words as they are put in present tense. It uses the I can and I will. And if we are in present moment in the chamber manifests as it is, and your attention is fully present with as it is. So I understand the question you're asking in terms of the words in the text, but I think if the chamber 7 is manifesting a form of the friendly guides as the radiation fire, and the color is red. And then in the 8th chamber, the manifestation is green, and the element is air, it doesn't necessarily imply that there's some kind of a carryover from one to the next, as if you were transversing from one chamber to the next physical space, moving from one thing to another. It's an overlay.
But then it says, to the soft red light will be beckoning you.
That's correct.
So,
yeah,
see,
one is radiation and one is soft.
The difference is that we're not dead yet.
Speak for yourself.
Are you sure?
So, if that's the case, we are practicing working in the various chambers. Maybe the Voyager goes in a linear manner from 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, so on and so forth. Maybe that's how that one works. But the way we are working is to open our eyes to see, well, what chamber am I in now? What chamber have I discovered myself in? Well, first we have to learn what those chambers are. So that's part of what we're doing now. And they have the friendly guide just saying it has characteristics. So let's pick up on those characteristics and see what we see.
And I do understand your question, which is one of them uses the word red radiation and the other one uses the word soft light. And they are distinctly different. And the difference between them becomes stronger and stronger the further along you go through the bardos. Because the radiation is one that will cleanse you, and a soft light that is one that attracts you and draws you down into the lower dimensions. That's the distinction.
So those are the hints that we have as Voyager. Those are hints that we have on the map of how things work. Like if we walked out into the woods, things work in a certain way. You know, the wind blows. If you know that this is, if it's this time of day, the sun should be here. You know characteristics. These are characteristics of the Voyager. If we live the life of the Voyager, we're going to see these characteristics. And others.
And another small response. I love your question. They're exactly what I was hoping for. The question itself expresses a form of fire or passion, as we would describe it, relating to human activity. So imagine that that fire or passion is of the purifying form that would allow your interest and your perception and your discrimination between one thing and another to be very, very finely tuned. It is an aspect of your being. It is being manifest at the moment in this curiosity or wonder or asking for clarity.
Right.
But that is exactly what it is. It is a form of the element fire.
And Simon has said, one is a cleaner and the other is a sucker.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a nice way of putting it.
Did you have a comment?
Well, Patricia's description just made, what came to mind was the image of salmon trying to swim upstream against the waterfall, because you're faced with this this radiation that is not pleasant for what's left of the primate impulses, and at the same time you're confronted with the soft light that offers you, or pretends to offer you, a refuge. And so it's as though the whole thing is set up to keep you from actually going through the process and coming out clean.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. There's another word for that. It's called the clear light. Yeah. And the clear light contains all and nothing. So it is exactly as you described. the waterfall coming down that you are aiming to rise above or beyond or through or whatever formulation you put. And it also has the aspect of you can't, you're not able. You're hung up, you know. Both of those elements are there.
So if you feel like it in this coming week, let's work a little bit with each other on 7 and 8. And we'll deepen that a little bit this next week.
Good idea.
And then we'll venture a little bit into 9 and 10 as well.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you, David.
Thank you all.
Thank you all for coming. And we'll see you next week then. Take care.
Thanks for sharing as a friendly guide.